And from our New York studios up in Harlem on Frederick Douglass Boulevard, let's go inside her story.
My location.
With Jackie Reed. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom, Civil, and Jay. And happy Halloween, you guys. Now, there is no shortage of sexy Halloween costumes for women, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's even a sexy Ebola nurse costume. Have you guys seen this one?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's out this year. But as costumes for young girls include sexy nurses, police officers, and superheroes as top sellers, the debate continues whether these types of costumes are harmful or just fun. I'm going inside her story with noted Black feminist scholar and Spelman College professor, Dr. Beverly Guy Sheftel. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Let me ask you, where do you fall on this ongoing debate about whether Halloween costumes for women are sexual expression or hypersexualization? What are your thoughts?
Hypersexualization.
And why? Why do you feel that way?
Well, let me just say the first of all, it's part of this hugely growing Halloween, $8 billion industry, and
right.
Costumes have now outrun candy, and adults are involved in Halloween probably even more than children. So, so I think it's, obviously it's fun, but it's also the, which I'm really sick of, the continuing hypersexualization of women and girls all over the culture.
Yeah, does it really bother you that a lot of these sexy costumes are marketed to tweens?
Yes, marketed to tweens, and I should say, which I didn't know prior to trying to be prepared for your radio show, that college students are the main market are college campuses,
mm-hmm.
and also tweens, and so it's predictable. It's, part and parcel of the hypersexualization of even girls between the ages of 8 and 12.
Well, let's talk about hypersexualization for a moment, just mm-hmm. to kind of break it down for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
What's harmful about that?
What's harmful about it is, and we see it in the stats, is that girls are socialized from a young age to be more concerned about their appearance, how they look, and how sexy they are, rather than what's in their heads or what they might be doing that's constructive in their lives. So they just spend inordinate amounts of time in front of the mirror. The cosmetic surgery is increasing, and eating disorders are increasing. So it really has a very negative impact on young girls' self-esteem if they're constantly worried about, am I sexy? How do I look? Am I beautiful? Do boys like me? And so forth. It becomes a total obsession.
How do we counteract that, Professor, though, if that is all that our children are seeing from the moment they wake up to the time they go to bed?
Well, we counteract it by doing exactly what we're doing now. We talk about it. There are documentaries about it. We go into schools. We go into, young people's organizations and talk about it. But it's extremely hard because it's so normal now. It's sort of unconscious. So if this is all you see from the time you're 5 or 6 years old, it's very hard to disrupt that, but we have to just keep trying. And we have to talk about, I think, the negative impact on young girls' self-esteem, particularly young Black girls' self-esteem. If all they see every day is that you got to be sexy, you got to be sexy, you got to be even more sexy, you got to be even more beautiful. And, I would not like to be a 9 to 13-year-old girl growing up right now.
Well, speaking of, what young girls are seeing, singer Annie Lennox recently called Beyonce a feminist light, and then she quickly apologized, but she also said that twerking is not feminism. I mean, what do you think? Is it possible to be a Beyonce or a Nicki Minaj and be the face of feminism today?
No, you can't be the face of feminism. I mean, one of the things that bothers me, you've got women, political women, women who've been in struggle, for the last 30 years, really trying to get feminist messages out, and then someone who may not have even known what feminism is becomes the face of feminism. It is ridiculous. It would be just like doing the civil rights movement when you had people like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, and we choose somebody who's been in no struggle, doesn't even know what civil rights might be, and they become the face of the movement. We would think that would be ridiculous.
So what's going on with adult women? Because a lot of women will defend their right to be sexy. I mean, do women feel pressure to be sexy, or do they just, you know, or do
they just want to do that?
Feel
pressured. I mean, I think they do feel. First of all, there's a difference between. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be sexy or feeling sexy, okay. But the messages about the public display of this is what I think is very, very problematic. I mean, why do I need to publicly display my sexiness every day, even when I'm on my way, even when I'm going to work? I mean, I see women with those stiletto heels on at work, and they can't walk down the hall. and one of the things that we know, this is a script that we're given. This is a script that women were given. I don't think that you would normally go to work in shoes that you can hardly walk in. And we know that this just happened.
Yeah, no, it's been going on for a long time. Well, Dr. Beverly Guy-Sheftel, Spelman College, thank you so much for participating in this. I noticed Jay and Tom were very quiet for this interview.
Yes,
you're quite welcome.
Interesting.
Yeah, no,
thank you.
They're taking off their sexy DJ costumes, though, as we speak.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Halloween.
And here's Vanity. My response to all of this.
My response is
not nasty.
What is the face of feminism? Who is the face of feminism?